the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen. Counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Remember, this happened 12 years ago, and the word settlement suggested to me some sort of legal settlement. And later, as I thought about it and thought about it, I did recall an agreement with the lady that left to make the false accusation. So that's when I said, yes, there was an agreement. But when I was initially hit with this, when I woke up yesterday morning trying to stay on focus on my day, I didn't recall it right away. So, yes, there was an agreement that I later, you know, added to my explanation.
That's Herman Cain in a talk radio interview trying to explain why his comments about the sexual harassment allegations seem to be changing. That's where we get started. This is the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen, and we go to, from CNN, Robin Mead, asking Mr. Cain about his changing responses to this could-be, would-be scandal.
Why is all of a sudden that you remembered things about it yesterday? Were you informed or were you told more about the case yesterday?
No, I just started to remember more. Remember, in 12 years, a lot of stuff can go through your head. This wasn't exactly something that I had top of mind where I was trying to recall every little detail that went on 12 years ago.
The story where this all started was from Politico, and it had mentioned that there were two accusations
yes.
of sexual harassment. Do you remember anything now about the other case?
Absolutely not. I wasn't even aware of the second case until we saw the Politico article. The first one I was aware of, but the second one I have, and I still haven't recalled, I didn't even know the second one existed, if it exists. Because remember, the article said, two anonymous sources.
Did it come out of nowhere for you after the Politico, though, said that your campaign had it for 10 days?
We had it for 10 days, Robin. We made a conscious decision with my sign-off. I'm not going to go out and start chasing two anonymous accusations. So that was a conscious decision.
Are there other accusations against you that you wouldn't know what two accusations he was talking about when he said sexual harassment?
All we know is that they contacted my office and said that they had two anonymous sources accusing me of sexual harassment. And we said, well, what details can you give us? They couldn't give us any other than it occurred when I was at the National Restaurant Association. I immediately recall one, and that was the one we talked about earlier. I couldn't recall the other one. And the reason that I wasn't going to answer his question standing on the street after I had done another interview, that could have been taken totally out of context. I wanted to be able to put it into context like I'm doing now to explain what I knew and what I didn't know, what I can now remember and what I couldn't remember at the beginning of yesterday.
Why did you never go back to HR to find out what their review had found?
Because it started out where she was making some huge claims about sexual harassment. I do recall that she was asking for a large sum of money. I don't remember what that sum of money was, but as the review of this moved forward, that sum of money, negotiating with her attorney, got less and less and less because her attorney started to figure out she didn't have a valid claim. I absolutely believe that this is an intended smear campaign using these two cases. Like I said, I'm not even aware of the second one. It is a smear campaign. When they cannot.
By whom? Do you know by whom?
We don't know. We have no idea. When they cannot kill my ideals, like 999, they come after me personally. When this happened years ago, I told my wife about it because it was found to be baseless. And the hardest part on my wife, quite frankly, is all of the innuendos from all of the news reports that haven't been presenting the facts. You know, the fact that, yes, the word settlement, I said I don't recall a settlement earlier in the day. That's because I considered what happened an agreement. But because of, like I said, the detail at which every word is scrutinized, it was an agreement. And so it looked like I changed my story. I didn't change my story. If I could do it over, Robin, I would start with the last interview I did last night and make that the first interview of the day. Because after 12 hours during the day, many events, many interviews, I was able to gradually recall more and more details about what happened 12 years ago. So that's what I would do differently. But, you know, I wasn't given the opportunity to think about it for a day before I had to start answering questions.
Up next, a host thinks this scandal, the situation, may have been leaked from one of the other candidates. Duh. That's next on the Talk Radio Countdown.
GEICO makes it so simple to save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. But why stop there? GEICO finds every possible way to save you even more money. good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, even good student discounts. And don't forget our Looking Fine discount, a discount for all the attractive folk like yourselves. Okay, there's not really a Looking Fine discount, just seeing if you're paying attention. It's not a bad idea, though.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
AVG links millions of users to protect computers from digital threats. We protect us. To make this point, we built a cage made of millions of toothpicks, put two people inside, then dropped it in a jungle with a 500-pound tiger. How will the tiger react with nothing between it and these strangers but a few inches of toothpicks? See if there is strength in numbers. AVG presents Tiger vs. Toothpicks at WeProtectUs.com.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. Geico makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You're stranded by the side of the road. It's raining, 1 a.m, and your car has a flat tire. Too bad your Motor Club membership expired years ago. Who can you call for help? Allstate wants everyone to be protected on the road. So before this happens to you, give them a call. Because right now, Allstate is giving every driver in America a free lifetime membership and good hands roadside assistance just for calling. You don't even have to be an Allstate customer. You'll get 24/7 access and low flat rates on everything from tows to tire changes. So down the road, when you need help, you'll know you're in good hands.
Call a local agent or 888-ALLSTATE today and get a lifetime membership in good hands roadside assistance absolutely free. You can't afford not to call. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability.
Shop less, get more. Make one call to an Allstate agent.
On to round three. If a train leaves Spokane...
Schenectady by Saturday!
Correct. March comes before May. What's in my left pocket?
Half a mint and a rusty switchblade.
Correct.
Bam.
Who lets you watch TV episodes and movies instantly over the internet?
Ha-ha! Netflix!
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
That is red!
I know. Can you put me down now?
Sorry.
I'm a hugger.
Talk radio in review, the focus on Herman Cain from MSNBC. Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski talked to Time Magazine's Mark Halperin about Mike Huckabee's statement on who might have leaked the story about the sexual harassment allegations against Mr. Cain.
How did Herman Cain do yesterday?
Well, I guess it depends on who you ask. If you ask Herman Cain, he's a target. But there was a little bit of an evolution in his...
And his
description of
description.
The story, yeah.
That's really, you know, the thing is, Mark Halperin, we really don't know what happened. Only a small number of people know what happened back at the National Restaurant Association, but we certainly know what he did yesterday. And it was one inconsistency after another. Mike Huckabee thinks, I thought it was fascinating, he thinks this is another Republican campaign that has set this rumor in motion. And that sounds about right. But... sometimes campaigns will do that to each other to see how somebody responds. Herman Cain's team and Herman Cain, not the model of consistency yesterday.
He wasn't. I think if to sort of go inside the zeitgeist of the political media establishment, I think a lot of people in the media are skeptical about his story and whether he's telling the truth. And that will propel this forward up to a point. These are cases apparently that are under non-disclosure agreements.
Yeah, I mean,
and
how far
so
can they go?
We're not. It's not clear if we never if there are never faces to the accounts of the women.
Yeah.
And if there's no more facts that come out, I think his poll numbers may go up.
What responsibility does Politico have? And we're going to ask whoever's coming on from Politico. But what responsibility does Politico have to say what happened? Because there are a few sketchy lines in there where one woman was uncomfortable with a gesture he made that was non-sexual. But it was a bizarre description of an action of Herman Cain's a decade ago that Politico described as non-sexual.
They know more than they're saying, and they're bound by their relationship with their sources. You have to trust them as a news organization. They took their time on this. They did not rush this into print, and they have the credibility to put this forward the way they did. They're taking some hits from the right, but the story has not been challenged on its facts in any way.
Host Jimmy Barrett here with political analyst Quentin Kidd about Kane's response to the scandal and what it may mean for his campaign.
It seems very, very bizarre to me that we've got these two sexual harassment allegations, and the campaign just kind of completely ignores it as long as they possibly can. But now that the candidate is speaking out about it, he's giving kind of conflicting testimony about, I shouldn't use the word testimony because he's not testifying in a court of law, but he's doing interviews, and the answers seem to vary quite a bit about what he did know, what he didn't know. First, he didn't really remember anything about it. Now he remembers this and that. If nothing else, it strikes me as obviously the campaign has not one of those long-standing political campaigns where they're used to dealing with these types of issues, and maybe they just don't know the right way to go about it.
The campaign staff was out back smoking a cigarette. They didn't have time to prepare for this.
Now, that one I kind of liked. But in this particular case, if nothing else, you've got to get your strategy set before you go out and start talking to the media, don't you?
Yeah, and they had 10 days. I mean, Politico says that it was asking the campaign for a response for 10 days and were being just ignored. And so what it means is the staff that was ignoring the reporter's questions wasn't communicating to the candidate about the questions, or if they were communicating to the candidate, Herman Cain, and he was ignoring them, then I have no idea what's going on, because obviously, you know, this was going to come out, whether they ignored it or not. Putting your head in the hole is not going to make this go away.
No, I mean, you don't have to be an expert of political campaigns to know that you cannot ignore any sort of story along these lines for very long before you're going to make the situation that much worse for yourself.
Right, and this is, you know, this is survivable. I mean, Bill Clinton dealt with something much worse during the 1992 Democratic primary process and survived it. And it's not clear to me that the base of the Republican Party, the part of the party that really just loves Herman Cain, cares much about this, because it's something that comes out of mainstream media, and there's a deep distrust for mainstream media within that base. So Cain, if he had prepared for this, probably could have swatted it away, you know, in one set of comments and been done with it. But since he hasn't done that, it's going to play out for as long as he continues to flop around about it.
Is there anything about this situation that reminds you of all of what Clarence Thomas went through when he was a Supreme Court nominee?
Well, yes, in the sense that it comes out of nowhere to us. It seems to come out of nowhere. The campaign seemed to know about it. And I think it's funny, when Cain said that this was a witch hunt yesterday, it reminded me of Clarence Thomas alleging a high-tech lynching. And so there are some similarities.
Although I will say this for Herman Cain, he did not play the race card, where clearly Clarence Thomas did.
Right, that's right. He may have played the race card as subtly as he could. Given who his support is, he probably can't play the race card much at all, and he probably doesn't care to play it much at all. But the sort of defensive tone sounded similar to me.
Now, going forward, you indicated you think that this is a very survivable thing, if you will, for Herman Cain. What's the right way going forward to handle this? How do you take over the damage control on this issue?
Well, I think he's got to sit down. It might be worth his time to just go away for a day with his team of advisors, sit down and get all the information, all the facts on the table, and then come forward and in a very public way and say, here's what happened, here's everything we know, and that's it. Get the story straight. Agree. Everybody needs to agree that whatever they agree on saying, they're going to say. Whatever they say needs to be based in facts. And just lay it out there, because the shifting is what's causing the problem. The shifting story is causing the problem. We don't know what the truth is, and that's the problem.
Up next, more opinions and reactions to the allegations against Herman Cain here on our Countdown Show.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Talk radio, talk television, always exciting, never puts anybody to sleep. And that certainly includes the Herman Cain situation on the Republican side. Here, our host Brad Krantz and Britt Whitmire with Alex Burns from Politico.com about the one thing that is really hurting Herman Cain right now. It's not the situation, it's the way the story seems to be changing, his story.
We were just talking about the change in Herman Cain's admitting that he knew that there was a settlement made on his behalf versus yesterday when he knew nothing about it at all.
Yeah, you know, I think when you talk to political strategists about how to handle a difficult story like this one, they will tell you, get out all the information. If there's damaging information, get it out yourself, tell the whole truth, and then tell it consistently. And it's that last point that really seems to have fouled up Herman Cain, that we have, as you just said, heard a number of different versions of the facts from Mr. Cain's perspective over the last day, and we sort of head into day two of this story, not really being sure which version, which account Mr. Cain is going to be sticking to.
So if he would have just said, I'm going to give you an example of something that I thought he should have said from the beginning. I was accused of something. I wanted to fight to repair or to defend my good name because I was not guilty of this. But the organization, the National Association of Restaurants, said, no, we're going to write a check and make this go away. If he would have said something like that, do you think that would have given him some sort of credibility?
I think that it certainly would have given him a stronger sort of rhetorical position than he has right now. It would have had to stand up to the test of additional reporting, additional comment from the National Restaurant Association. But you know, I think when Herman Cain initially came out with his first set of responses yesterday, his first set of responses personally, I should say, not his sort of fumbling response to his campaign, but when he first personally said, yes, I was accused of sexual harassment, it was a false accusation, I'm not aware of the settlement, you know, I think some people questioned whether it would be possible for him not to know about the settlement, but basically thought, well, that's a pretty strong answer. Mm-hmm. Now that that story has started to shift, I think that it gets harder for people to just take on faith the entirety of this narrative.
Host Bruce Wolf and Dan Proft talking to Aaron Blake from the Washington Post about how Cain has been handling this situation.
What's your assessment of the fallout from this?
Well, you know, about halfway through the day yesterday, I was thinking Herman Cain has actually shown some message discipline. He might be handling this. You know, the first time Dan talked about when he called it a witch hunt, I thought when he said that that was probably a good thing, but he was handling it at that point. Then he did the interview with Greta, and he disclosed that he actually knew about a settlement when, in fact, he and his campaign had previously said that he didn't. And then he did an interview with PBS in which he told Judy Woodruff that he in fact didn't remember whether he had invited one of these women up to his hotel room. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like that's something that I would have remembered. And the one thing that I kept thinking about was, you know, when Anthony Weiner got caught taking pictures of himself, and he said that, you know, he didn't know whether that was his, you know, a shot of his own groin. It seems like it doesn't really pass the smell test, and I think that's really going to trouble him in the days coming.
It's interesting because you might not remember if you invited a woman up to a hotel room if you do this kind of thing often.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing, I guess.
Well, no, and the problem with that is it fuels wild speculation like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but that is a problem. So where do you think it goes from here?
You know, I think that from here it's just going to continue to get bad. The problem with his story is that it's continued to change, and that just leads to more questions. You know, I was a little skeptical yesterday that this was actually going to hurt him, given the fact that these women have signed non-disclosures and they can't really talk about it. You know, this is all based on kind of secondhand information about, you know, people who were involved at the time or whoever the original sources were. So I thought that there was a good chance this would go away. The fact that he kind of keeps changing his story means that it keeps going, and he's going to have to keep answering questions about it.
Let's move on to some of the other Republican candidates just a few minutes as the Countdown Show continues.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. When the temperature starts to drop, putting off seasonal vehicle maintenance and needed repairs can leave you stranded. Be ready for the colder months ahead with the help of your local O'Reilly Auto Parts. Checking for cracked belts and hoses, inspecting your fluid levels, and replacing worn brake pads will keep you and your family safe this winter. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Wearing glasses with Prizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Prizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Prizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
The Department of Defense commemorates the 60th anniversary of the Korean War. We are proud to present the following stories of those who served when their nation called. Chuck Hankins, president of the Korean War Veterans Alliance.
To be eligible to belong to the group, you had to have been in Korea during the combat. Making the annual reunions that we've had every year, it's the opportunity to go to a reunion and sit down and visit with, we call it the Band of Brothers now. We understand what each other's talking about and where we're coming from, and even the emotion that's involved in it, we can appreciate. And somebody that hasn't had that experience, you can talk to them and describe things to them, and you can almost see their eyes glaze over because they really don't understand the depth of the emotion of what you're talking about. And I guess that's been the thing out of the organization that I've gained the most from, that camaraderie that gets involved in that type of thing.
See more hero stories at KoreanWar.defense.gov.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family: peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. And they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com. And for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit wisefoodstorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, foodstorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's UTOPIA Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Here we are on the Talk Radio Review and the presidential race. Other Republicans. Let's go to Fox Now, Shepard Smith, with analyst Carl Cameron about the viral video that's been going around of a speech Rick Perry gave over the weekend in New Hampshire, which shows him so animated and goofy that a lot of people wonder not whether he had too much to drink.
The speech that will resonate and reverberate from sea to shining sea, including the finish with the caressing and holding of the maple syrup. I have never, in all these years of observing politics, seen anything quite like this from someone who purports to be a presidential candidate. Carl, it is astounding.
Sure, you're talking about Rick Perry's speech in New Hampshire on Friday night last. There have been some media critics who have watched the video of this as it's been mashed up and put together and suggested that maybe he was under the influence of either pain meds for some recent back surgery or alcohol. It's been very, very tough criticism. The Perry campaign isn't going to even dignify those types of suggestions or allegations with a response. And today, Mr. Perry said that he thought he'd give a great speech, but here's a little bit of what happened last Friday.
You know, we're kind of into those slogans, man. It's like, live free or die, victory or death, bring it. This is such a cool state. I mean, come on, live free or die. I mean, you know, you got to love that, right? The good news is that little plan that I just shared with you doesn't force the Granite State to expand your tax footprint, if you know what I mean. Like 9% expansion.
He's giggling there because that's a sort of a not-so-veiled tweak at Herman Cain's 999 plan. That's Rick Perry unplugged. He gets animated. I've covered him for years. I've watched his gubernatorial campaigns. I've seen him act like this in other circumstances. It didn't get a bad review from the folks in the room in New Hampshire last week, and it got a pretty strong review from the Washington Post's Dan Balls, who's been on the campaign trail a long, long time, who said it's pretty vintage Rick Perry. But when you put it all together, as many have on the web and as some comedy late-night shows have, it looks a little bit goofy. But Rick Perry says that's animation, that is enthusiasm, and you're going to see a lot more of it because he's going for the win.
Radio man Steve Scott with Rick Newman from U.S. News and World Report. Latest article is a look at what's good in the economic plans being proposed by a couple of the Republicans.
Five good ideas from four GOP economic plans is the title of Rick's piece today for U.S. News. And Rick, tops on your list, streamlined regulation.
Yeah, that's right. I'm basically looking for the centrist ideas that might actually have a chance of passing with bipartisan support, no matter who gets elected. So I think less regulation is one of them, but we're not going to see a repeal of the Dodd-Frank financial reforms on banks, and even a repeal of Obamacare would be a huge fight. I think where something might happen is repealing a lot of regulations on small businesses. They're not that necessary, and that's not really where the problem is, so we're seeing some support coalescing around that idea already.
There's been a lot to talk about this next one, lower corporate taxes.
Yeah, Herman Cain would love to lower corporate taxes to 9% from 35% where they are now. I don't think that's going to happen. But bringing them down to perhaps 25%, which is what Mitt Romney has proposed, seems more doable. Now, in order to pull that off, you'd have to eliminate a lot of the tax breaks and corporate subsidies and deductions and stuff like that. But even President Obama says he would support lower tax rates if they cleaned everything up, and that might actually get businesses to bring some profits back home from overseas and spend a little bit more money here.
Fewer government agencies. Republicans love to push for smaller government.
Yeah, everybody's talking about smaller government. Ron Paul would actually kill 5-pounded agencies and slash spending for most of the rest. And again, I don't think that idea is going anywhere. But this is another idea where slimming down government really is generating more attention these days. And if you could just consolidate a couple of government agencies and do it in kind of a headline way that people would notice, I think you'd get some credit for making government more efficient without really harming too many people.
Next up, taxing consumption over income. What do we mean by that?
This is a very complicated idea. It's kind of the essence of Herman Cain's his whimsical 999 plan. Very briefly, the idea is to raise taxes on things we buy, but lower the taxes on work, which means lowering income taxes. It's very controversial in certain ways, but economists love the idea generally, because basically it would get us to buy less and save more, and that would put a lot of families in better shape over the long haul, and it would probably help increase investment in the United States as well.
And finally, more simplicity.
Yeah, my contention is that one of the main reasons Herman Cain's 999 plan has really resonated with voters is it's just simple. I mean, most of what comes out of Washington is so complicated that people can't possibly understand it in an evening or just by picking up the newspaper, reading about it on the web. So I think if we could get a little bit more simplicity out of some of the reforms we need, voters might feel a little bit better about them, and they might even have a little bit more confidence in government.
Okay, the latest on the Wall Street protesters. That's next here in the Talk Radio Countdown.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Do you only wear clothes that hide your psoriasis? Do you constantly have to explain your itching? Are you embarrassed by flaking or scaling? If you said yes to any of these questions, you're eligible to try a new treatment called SebaClear, risk-free. SebaClear has been found to help stop the itching, irritation, redness, and flaking caused by psoriasis. SebaClear is a non-prescription topical treatment proven to help eliminate the reoccurrence of skin psoriasis. The results are so incredible that patients have described this formula as life-changing. Stop hiding under long-sleeve shirts and long pants. Call now for your risk-free trial of SebaClear. But hurry, this special offer won't last.
Call 1-800-467-9194. That's 1-800-467-9194. Try SebaClear risk-free. Call 1-800-467-9194. That's 1-800-467-9194.
Time, ladies and gentlemen, for the million bottle giveaway. You heard right. 1 million bottles of something that will protect that which is near and dear to both men and women. Men, your prostate, your well-being, your life. Women, intimacy, and a good night's rest. It starts with
taking the Master Prostate Formula. It starts now by your calling 800-716-6520. Master Prostate has 12 key ingredients shown to promote healthy prostate function, help you get a good night's rest. It's all natural. The best part is you can get a free bottle, part of the Master Prostate Million Bottle Giveaway. Just pay a small shipping and handling fee, and your bottle is on its way. 800-716-6520. Call that now. Get a good night's rest. Take my word for it. Master Prostate is incredible. Try it now. Free. The free bottle offer won't last. Call now. 800-716-6520.
Dear Mom and Dad, one thing I've learned in the Army is that when you're lucky enough to get a little time off, you should put it to good use. So I'm taking a moment to write and tell you that I'm fine and doing well. We have good days and bad days over here. We try to remember the good ones and get through the bad ones as best we can. Mostly we have each other, and that's what keeps us going. That and the pride of our commitment to getting the job done, whatever it takes. I miss you all very much and can't wait to get back to life as usual. Please tell everybody hello for me, that I'll be home soon. And Mom, since you asked, if anyone wants to help, just tell them to contact the USO. You can't believe how much they do for us. With love, your son Michael.
The USO depends on the generosity of the American people. People just like you. To find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
Talk shows in review. The attention now turns to the Occupy Wall Street protests and protestors. CNN's Christine Romans talks to James Peterson about the protesters. They claim to represent pretty much everybody, but the majority of the protesters are male and white.
So when you look at the 99%, it's not really the 99% when you break it down by racial and even socioeconomic lines. Tell me why.
Well, there are a number of different reasons why this is a fairly complex issue. I think first and foremost, when you think about a protest of this nature and you think about the ways in which we want to include black folk and brown folk and people of color, there's some trepidation about the fact that they're going to have to encounter the police in these kinds of protests. So the relationship between the police institutions and communities of certain color and communities of certain class makes the participation in Occupy Wall Street skewed a little bit more towards the middle class and skewed a little bit more towards white folk who don't have that sort of history or the same kind of negative history with confrontation with police. So I think we should understand there is some reluctance, but the great thing is that Occupy Wall Street understands this and is trying to sort of work internally to become more representative of the actual 99%.
Well, let's talk about that representative nature of this. So Fordham University went down to the New York City protests and
yes,
that was in October, and they surveyed the crowd. This is what they found. Almost 70% of the people on Occupy Wall Street were white. 10% were Hispanic. 10% were black. 7% were Asian. When you compare that with New York City's makeup, you can see that the people who have the time or the means or the impetus to protest are not exactly representative of the 99% here. Many people have pointed out to me as well that if you're working two jobs just to get by, you don't have the luxury of going down there. If you're taking care of three little kids, you can't go down there. Maybe you're letting this progressive group speak for you.
That's the irony of the situation, is that the folk who have a little bit more autonomy in their careers, a little bit more financial autonomy, may not represent the full range of the 99%, but they have more time and actually a little bit more leeway to go down there and protest. And yes, they do have to represent. What's interesting is that every issue that Occupy Wall Street addresses is an issue that is central to the communities that we're talking about wanting to be represented there. So if you want to talk about income disparities, obviously black and brown folk and poor folk experience the worst income disparities in this country. And so one of the things that we need to consider here is that Occupy Wall Street, those numbers are not that bad. They're not strong for New York because New York's numbers, as you mentioned here, I think blacks are around 27%, Latinos around 26-27%. So those numbers are not that great for New York. But if you look at those nationally, they're not that bad. And again, I would reiterate, there are lots of other movements, the Occupy Hood movement, the Occupy Harlem movement. There's the Occupy Hip Hop movement that Rosa Clemente and other folk are talking about getting started. When you pull all those movements together, together and just look at the energy and the attention that's being paid to Occupy Wall Street, and I think they're going to get it right. What's interesting is if you think about like the Tea Party or you think about the 1%, no one really talks too much about the racial makeup of those groups, right? But when we look now at Occupy Wall Street, there's an internal push to become more diverse and more representative.
Here's host Pat Campbell with Occupy Tulsa protester Daniel Lee about the way the local news media is covering the events.
The newspaper seemed to, and they've done this to other groups, so I want you to give an accurate assessment.
Sure.
They seemed to downplay the numbers. The numbers they were putting out, maybe 100 to 150, didn't really match with the pictures I saw. How big was your crowd?
Well, we had our own counters. We counted about 815 people.
Okay.
And you know, that is of course a wide difference from the newspaper count, but taking into account that as we were marching, we stretched over six city blocks.
Okay. Do you think it was deliberate on their part to minimize your presence, or maybe did they just show up at the early part and only see the, you know, the start of the crowd?
I saw a lot of them show up at the very, very beginning before people had even completely arrived. Mm-hmm. So whether it was deliberate or not, you know, I'm not prepared to say, but I do know that, you know, it was grossly underestimated.
All right. And we've seen them do that to other groups in the past, so that doesn't surprise me. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about that march. What was it designed to do? What did it accomplish?
Well, basically, it was to get us out there. Get everybody together and really a symbolic gesture, if you will, because we marched mm-hmm. through the financial district and also by City Hall. Just getting out there saying, you know, hey, we are protesting the corporations, we're protesting the banks, we're protesting the government's collision with the corporations. Involvement in politics and control of society.
Now, Daniel, I've noticed in some other parts of the country, specifically New York and I think D.C., the Occupy movement has taken it upon themselves to protest at the homes of what they deem to be the 1%. Now, we've got some pretty wealthy people here in town, some big movers and shakers, people like George right. Kaiser, who's been in the news quite a bit lately because of Solyndra. We've got former Mayor Kathy Taylor. We've got the Lorton family, pretty wealthy family, owns the newspaper. Have you guys protested at their houses, or do you have any plans to do so?
We have not protested outside the houses. You know, right now we feel that our time is best spent focusing on the corporations themselves. Okay. You know, obviously, for one, they're trying to get awareness up, and you know, in those neighborhoods, there's not a lot of people going around. You know, so that's not really a
So you want to be in high visibility areas?
Absolutely.
Where there's a lot of traffic.
We're reaching out to the community. You know, we're not trying to alienate people. We're trying to draw them
okay.
in.
Here are our hosts John Howell and Amy Jacobson on their program talking about a way some of the protesters are trying to make money off of this movement.
The Occupy Wall Street people looking to make its mark on everything from tote bags to T-shirts. They would like to be issued a copyright, please.
Really? You don't say.
They have applied for the trademark to its name, filing for the use of the mark on its website, periodicals, newsletters, and on clothing and bags.
What's the color going to be for Occupy?
I do not know.
Wall Street.
But unfortunately, they retained an attorney for this, but the attorney has said it might take several months because to get a copyright or a trademark, it's a long process. And it takes 3 or 4 months. So you can bet at least a few of these people are going to be around for the foreseeable future, if for no other reason, to capitalize on the trademark. There is a guy down in, I believe, Arizona, someplace in the Southwest, who has already put in an application for the same trademark. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a little tussle. And when he was reached for comment, he essentially said that he's a branding and marketing executive and is not associated with Occupy Wall Street or their message. He just wants to make money.
Yeah, well, he wants to make money off of them.
Sure. So there'll be a battle because he got there first. He got Wow. there first with his trademark application. But the Operation Wall Street people in Manhattan feel like, well, we're the legitimate
Right.
branders of this. And
well,
they're
using a silk screening station that they have in that Zuccotti Park to print T-shirts that say Occupy Wall Street.
Right, but they want a trademark because they would like to make money. It's quite ironic, huh?
Yeah. They're making money off the very thing that they're fighting.
Exactly. That's my point exactly, Amy Jacobson. Thank you.
Hypocrisy.
Okay, the buzz on Kim Kardashian's divorce. That ought to be exciting. Up next here on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
So, yep, you had to figure there's going to be a lot of hoo-ha about the divorce of Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries. They've been married, what, 72 days, 10 weeks? Big televised wedding. They got $20 million for the whole deal. Here's host Bill Radke, along with Tom Tagney and Linda Thomas, talking about how the marriage looked like a sham from the beginning.
How could she have known that the cameras would contribute to trouble in their marriage? So, Tom, is it fair to say you've been happy about the news of the divorce?
Well, it's just nice that when you suspect people of being shallow and then they confirm it so spectacularly, there is a bit of a, yeah, I told you so.
So all divorcees are shallow or only people who
are
shallow?
Oh, yeah, no, all divorcees. Anyone who's ever got a divorce, of course not. I'm talking about Kim Kardashian's. The problem with the Kardashians is, and I'm quite familiar with Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, therefore you're quite familiar with the Kardashians.
Yes, well, the thing is, I think that they cheapen and vulgarize life by living it for the cameras. And this all looked like a sham when it was happening, and now it appears to really have been the sham.
Why did it look like a sham?
Because, first off, she barely knew him. She had been with Reggie Bush for a couple of seasons. In this season, they conveniently break up off-season, get back with another NBA star. One of her sisters is married to another pro athlete, and they were making all these jokes on Jay Leno about this. The entire thing was set up so that there was a crisis. The conclusion of the season was a crisis where he didn't want to ask her
Linda, help me. Why should I not
it's
be
all for the show?
As skeptical as Tom.
I like the Kardashians. I'm not saying they're like role models for the world, but I think these girls are smart business people. And too much to assume that because the marriage fell apart, she's just a shallow, who knew what she was doing. We don't know why they're getting a divorce. We don't know that. And you're just assuming a whole lot about her, Tom.
The thing is, though, that they allow me to assume that because they've shown us so much of their life. And I think a 72-day marriage proves that something isn't right. that is itself, you know, evidence and proof that you know, all I need. Now, if it's true, you'd think of marriage as just a cynical ploy to make $18 million and it worked in spades. I tend to take marriage a little more seriously than apparently Kim does. And I don't know about poor Chris Humphreys. He may be really be the stoop in this.
Well, they said they had irreconcilable differences. And if you've ever tried to reconcile differences in 72 days, you know how difficult that can be.
Host Bruce St. James, Pamela Hughes, and Rob Hunter talk about how Kardashian made a mockery of marriage by proceeding with this reality show scam.
Kim Kardashian, Pamela, seriously? I do want to point out that I did win the office pool because I had under 100 days. And at 72, I'm starting to get nervous. I'm not going to lie. I thought you get near the holidays, she might say, well, go ahead and make it through the holidays. And I was really starting to worry that I wasn't going to get to. But you know what? I'm proud, quite honestly. And I'm glad that Kim and or Chris came to their senses and said, this is a big sham. This was silly. All she wanted to do was be married to say that I had a wedding and that she had zero intention of actually, I don't know, living with somebody that she would call her husband, as evidenced by how stupid this bimbo is in real life.
It's funny to think that
wow.
It was just a business decision, though, because
completely a business
that's all
decision.
It was. At this point, because it was an 18, I don't know how much the wedding cost, $10 million, $18 million.
Uh-huh.
But how much money did she make off of it?
Yes, sir.
So she's coming out ahead. You know, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Well, here's
so
funny.
She has
what was the downside?
Record. Yeah.
A few weeks ago is when they had the big, I think it's E that airs the Kardashians, I'm not sure. But they had their two-night extravaganza of like the Kim K wedding. And it was like, on a Saturday and Sunday night.
Really?
It's convenient that they just did it.
So they
just
barely
just
recently,
did the wedding.
Yeah. They could barely get the damn thing edited and on TV before she decided
divorce.
To get divorced.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What a shocking development.
Well, the funny thing about all of it was all the rumors that were true. That Kim just wanted to get married. She just wanted to have the wedding.
I told you that 72 yep. days ago.
That Chris just wanted to be famous. True.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah. What a surprise. And she's a wonderful role model. And I mean, Twitter has been absolutely savaging her, and rightfully
right.
so. Rightfully so. She deserves it. I'll point out again, what is she famous for? Being a whore. Exactly. That is what she's famous for. And she's still held up as some example of how to do things because she's made money by being a whore. I don't understand that at all. I really don't. And I don't like it, and I don't like her. You know, I'm not impressed with her. Don't find her attractive for all the reasons that I think she's about as ugly as a person can get.
You know what? Okay, I use the term reality star loosely, okay? They're not really stars. They're just people. But I wonder at what point in time anybody who has been involved in a reality show, whether it's because you made a sex tape or it's because you want to be on Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
At what point in time do you wake up and realize that your life has changed dramatically because you've allowed some producer somewhere to pull the strings, and how sad that is that your life, a lot of times, in fact, I would venture to say, more often than not,
right.
goes into a tailspin because of what has been put on television. There has to be a sad moment in the majority of people who've been on reality TV shows when that reality hits them.
Right, right. And...
Because that's what happened. Producers pulled the strings on this.
All right, people will be hot on this one and other things, too, that are in the countdown box. So check out the Talk Radio Countdown Show section, plus lots of other things that are of interest and import at DougStephan.com.
Hi, it's...